Good morning. Praise God this morning. How's everybody doing? Woo! As you find your way to your seat, we have a few announcements. Can everybody hear me okay? Can you? Raise your hand if you can hear me. Okay, if your hand is down and you're missing a hearing aid, we have one in the back. We found a hearing aid back by the it's by the Welcome Center. So if you're missing a, I believe it's a purple hearing aid. Tim, is that yours? Purple? Nope. Purple hearing aid. It's in the back. Okay. We'll have the verses on the screen, and we do have an interpreter. But also, if you want your hearing aid, it's in the back. We want to welcome everybody to Easter Sunday at Calvary Gospel Church. We're so excited you're here, whether you're here in person or you're watching live online, or maybe you're watching this and it's 2031. Either way, welcome to Easter 2024 at Calvary Gospel Church. And I want to say on behalf of our pastor, Pastor Roy Grant, he is sick this morning, but on behalf of him and the pastoral staff, we are excited and happy that you're worshiping with us today. It is great to see Sister Lois, Pastor Roy's wife, here this morning. She's been sick, but it's great to see you, Sister Lois. And we will be we'll be praying here this morning. We want to make sure to keep Pastor Roy in our prayer. Some general announcements this morning for those people that would like to give. We have some opportunities to give. There's boxes in the hallway. You can give online. We have an app on your phone. You can also send it in via mail. And then some things that are coming up here in April. April 8th through the 10th, we are doing all church prayer and fasting. We'll be announcing this more as we get closer. But really, in the Bible, like we did a lesson on fasting last year, and this idea that fasting was expected. Right? Jesus said, when you fast, do it this way. Right? And you see in the Old Testament, when people were going through things in life, they said, hey, I want to hear from God. I want to fast. I want to set aside the things of this world. Maybe it's food, maybe it's media, whatever. They didn't have media back then. Right? But this, I'm going to set some things aside so I can focus on God. And so as a church, we're going to do this together. And we're going to spend 3 days, and Pastor Roy's going to be talking about this too. But so put this in your calendar and start praying and thinking about a way that you're going to pray and fast and try to hear from God during this time. On Sunday, April 14th, is our Jubilee service. So I would just come expecting a great time. It's going to be a special service of praise and worship. There's going to be some testimonies. Last time, it was so great to hear from some of you and what God is doing in your life. So many times, we don't get to hear that. You just get to hear me and Pastor Roy and Sister Jess. You know, it's kind of boring. But we get to hear people, and you get to hear the testimony of what God is doing in the lives of everybody here. And it's really exciting. So come prepared for that. Let's all stand this morning. We're going to pray for this service in just a minute. But also, how many people have either had the flu or the whatever's going around or known somebody recently, right? It's going around. It's hitting our pastor. We're going to pray for our pastor. But let's just pray for everybody else that's been, you've got family members that have been getting hit by the sickness and everything, that God would just heal them, that they'd feel better, right? But we're here today for Easter as well, right? We come to church. This is a special service. We're remembering that Jesus rose from the grave. Our theme is restoration. And so I don't know where you're coming from this morning. I don't know how far away or where your heart is at, but God wants to restore you this morning. Whether it's a little bit or a lot bit, God has something new for you this morning. And so when we pray, if you'll just ask God, God, I want to be restored a little bit this morning. I want to have my life changed just a little bit this morning. God will answer your prayer. Let's pray. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, for today. Thank you, Lord, for this special day, Easter, God, where we celebrate you raising from the dead and bringing new life to all of us, God. God, I pray, Lord, that you would have your way in this service. That your spirit would guide and speak into our hearts, into our minds, God. God, Lord, restore us. Bring us new. Bring us closer to you, God. Doesn't matter where we've come from, what sin we've committed, what darkness we were in, God, but bring us new this morning. God, and we pray for our pastor and everybody else that has been sick through the flu or the COVID or whatever is going on, God. We claim healing over them. We claim a restoration of their health in Jesus' name. Have your way this morning, God. In Jesus' name, amen.
I was rich, I remember who I was. I was lost, I was blind, I was running out of time. Sin separated, the bridge was far too wide. But from the far side of the chasm, you had me in your sight. So you made a way across the great divide. Left behind heaven's throne to build it here inside. And there at the cross, you paid the debt I owe. Broke my chains and freed my soul. For the first time I can go. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood applied. Thank you, Jesus, it has washed me white. Thank you, Jesus, you have saved my life. Brought me from the darkness into glorious light. Took my place, laid inside the tomb of sin. You were buried for 3 days, but then you walked right out again. And now death has no sting, and life has no end. For I have been transformed by the blood of the Lamb. For the blood applied, thank you, Jesus, it has washed me white. Thank you, Jesus, you have saved my life, brought me from the darkness into glorious light.
Moving forward. search for freedom. I have found in you, and you're the healer who makes all things new. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm not going back. I'm moving ahead. I'm here to declare to you, my past is over in you. All things are made new. Surrender my life to Christ. I'm moving, moving forward. You have risen with all power in your hands. You have given me a second chance. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Yeah, 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 yeah. I'm not going back. I'm moving ahead. I'm here to declare to you, my past is over. All things new, and I
on the cross. There on the cross at Calvary, you gave it all to purchase me. You are the Savior and the God who set me free.
Jesus, you have been changed. He brings freedom, healing, joy, and so much more. Aren't you thankful? I love the words to that song. Because of Jesus. You made a covenant with me, signed by the blood that still speaks. Now I am forgiven. I'm called righteous. I'm made clean. There on the cross at Calvary, you gave it all to purchase me. You are the Savior and God who set me free. You have made a way for me to enter into your holy place forever. And now I'm hidden. I'm covered. I've found peace. Into your likeness, you transform me, making me holy like you are holy. It's no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. You bring freedom to the captives, good news to the poor, healing to the broken, and joy to those who mourn. You turn ashes into beauty, and the ruins you restore. I am a testimony of the Lord. Place your hand on your chest this morning and say it with me. I am a testimony of the goodness of God. I am a testimony of the goodness of God. Amen. Aren't you thankful for the goodness of God? You may be seated this morning. Praise the Lord, everybody. I am just so excited to be here. We had a great first hour, at least I did. Pastor Peter might think I'm boring, but I had a great time. Praise the Lord. Resurrection Sunday. Aren't you thankful that we serve a risen Savior? He's not a statue. He's a risen Savior. He's the King of Kings and He's the Lord of Lords. Praise God. Praise God. As Pastor Peter said, this year our theme for Easter is restoration. And we're not here this morning for an English lesson. I have to be careful because Sharon Renvick is here and Kitty Rossing, and these may or may not have been my wonderful teachers for a few high school years. But we're not here for an English lesson, but I thought it was important for us to pause a moment and to consider what this word restoration means. Merriam-Webster defines restoration as an act of restoring or the condition of being restored, such as to bring back to a former position or condition. It's reinstatement. It's restitution. A restoring to an unimpaired or improved condition. If you or I were to take on a project of restoring something, whether it's a car, for me, it'd be a 60s Mustang. 65, 66, 67, 68, maybe even a 70. I would pick one. Convertible preferred. So if you have one hidden in a barn somewhere, let me know. My husband would choose a 442. My son would choose a Firebird and the other would choose a Camaro. I don't know what you would choose. Maybe you wouldn't choose a car. Maybe you'd choose to restore a piece of furniture or a house that you would choose to invest in and bring back to its former glory. No matter what we would choose to restore, there's going to be an investment that needs to be made to figure out what the original condition was. If it's going to be an authentic restoration, you got to do some research to understand what it needs to be brought back to. Otherwise, you might just be repurposing. Repurposing, that's a word we've heard a little bit about. Repurposing tailgates into coffee tables or maybe crazy headboards. Repurposing doors into shelves, all kinds of things that you can repurpose. If we repurpose something, we just give it a different purpose. We're not using it for what it was originally intended for. I say all that to say that it seems to me that if we're going to truly understand restoration, we need to first understand our Genesis story. So let's go there this morning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. Anybody know it? A few of you. I always try to get them to, I challenge the praise singers that they should sing the announcements for me. So I sang a message. So now the challenge is back to the praise team. One of these days. Okay, so he made everything, the animals, the sea, the plants, the trees, everything. And his crowned creation is us. You are his crowned creation. He is our source of life, amen? But why? That is the question. Why did he create us? Simply put, he created us for his pleasure. Revelation 4:11 says, you are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power because you have created all things and by your will they exist and were created. God is sovereign. He is our creator. Genesis 1:27 tells us that we were created in the image and the likeness of God. This means that you and I as humans have the ability to know God. And to know him, therefore, we have the ability to love him, to worship him, to have fellowship or relationship with him. You see, God didn't create humans because he needed us. He's God. He needs nothing. Nothing. But he created us because he desires relationship. Relationship is what he's after. And he gave us the most incredible thing that I think we don't think about a lot, and that's the power of choice. The independent free will. We get to choose what we want. Unfortunately, it's not always when we want it or where we want it, but we can choose. We can make decisions of what we want. We can choose to return love to God, or we can choose to turn away from him and dismiss his love. In Genesis chapter 3, we can read about the significance of the power of that choice in the very beginning of creation, where Adam and Eve walked in the garden. And sadly, they chose to listen to the voice of evil rather than to obey the voice of their Lord. Paradise was lost. Brokenness and pain entered into the world through sin. And now, sadly, all of mankind has been born with a sinful disposition, a sinful nature, the compulsion to sin, the dominion of sin. It's all there. Romans 5:12 says, "Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." You say, "Well, I didn't choose it." It doesn't matter. It's how we were born. A barrier was quickly built between God and mankind. You see, there was no more walking and talking in the garden. The relationship broke. The curse of sin changed everything. Reading in Genesis 3, verse 14, it says, "So the Lord God said to the serpent, 'Because you have done this, you are cursed more than any livestock, and more than any wild animal. You will move on your belly and eat dust all the days of your life.'" "I will put hostility between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He will strike your head, and you will strike his heel." He said to the woman, "I will intensify your labor pains. You will bear children with painful effort. Your desire will be for your husband, yet he will rule over you." And he said to the man, "Because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree about which I commanded you, do not eat from it. The ground is cursed because of you. You will eat from it by means of painful labor all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat of the plants of the field. You will eat bread by the sweat of your brow until you return to the ground, since you were taken from it, for you are dust, and you will return to the dust." The curse was hostility, thorns, thistles, and sweat. Oh, the heaviness of the weight of sin. It didn't take long for disease, despair, and death to ooze into our world. Humanity would now be under the curse of death, both physically and spiritually. Romans 6:23 tells us the wages of sin is death. It's crazy to read in the scriptures how quickly the order that God created became chaos as things escalated in between mankind. "There is none righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Every one of us needs saving from sin and from the penalty of sin. The first part of Romans 5:19 tells us that it was by one man's disobedience that many were made sinners. But God was never without a plan. The fall of man was not a surprise to our omnipotent God, and redemption was not an afterthought. He had a plan. And all through the pages of the Word of God, we can see God show up in the account in the lives of every person here. We see that in sickness, he showed up. We see that in famine, he provided. We see in war that he was a covering. Over and over and over, he showed up in the pain. The rest of Romans 5:19 says, by the obedience of one man, many shall be made righteous. So by the disobedience of Adam, we were made sinners. But by the obedience of Jesus, we are all made righteous. Aren't you thankful for Jesus? I am so thankful. Continuing on into verses 20 and 21, it says, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. Sorry, I had a typo here. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Thank God that he had a plan. Thank God that he showed up. Thank God that he pursued us all through the pages of the Word of God. He had a plan. He had a purpose for restoring the broken relationship that sin gives us. You see, sin separates us from our holy God. His plan was to redeem us, and in redeeming us, he desires to restore our relationship with him. So God came to earth. He came to a world of Greeks who were seeking knowledge and reason, a world of Romans who strived for physical strength and dominance, and the Jews. He came to the Jews who were looking for the Messiah. They anticipated his coming, but they were looking for a hero. They were expecting a soldier, a warrior, somebody to come and to fight and deliver them from the hands of the Roman soldiers. You see, he could have come with much fanfare, but he chose to come humbly as a baby. He began his earthly ministry in a barn, not in a palace. He didn't arrive as royalty or as an elite. He was raised by a carpenter. He wasn't a scholar, though he studied and knew the scriptures very, very well. He was not the anticipated warrior. Jesus came. He came and lived as one of us, as an example for us, to show us that he loved us. He came because he wanted to restore relationship. He had eternity on his mind. John 3:16 tells us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth on him will not perish, but have everlasting life. He's not just concerned about your comfort today. He's concerned about your soul for all eternity. All eternity. And he wants to give you a restored relationship with him today so that you can spend eternity with him. You see, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And when he came as a man, he humbled himself by being obedient to the point of death. Death on a cross. Remember the curse, the thistles, the thorns, and the sweat? Never forget that Jesus bore the weight of sin to ultimately pay the price to redeem each of us from that curse. You see, God came to earth as a sinless man, the man Jesus Christ. He didn't deserve to die, but he chose to die. He didn't deserve to die, but he chose to die. He chose to pay the ultimate price for your redemption, for my redemption, and for our restoration. He made the choice. Hebrews tells us that he went to the cross so that through his death, he might destroy the one holding the power of death. He removed the barrier between us and him. He restores our relationship with him. Something that has really struck a chord with me this Easter is Jesus' journey to the cross, the thorns, the thistles, and the sweat. Luke wrote about the night in which Jesus sweated so intensely that it was like drops of blood hitting the ground. Matthew wrote that they twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they placed the staff in his right hand and they knelt down before him and mocked him. Hail, King of the Jews. The agony of Christ's struggle at the end of his earthly journey. This crown of thorns will forever remind us that the work of the cross is what reverses the consequences of our sins. You see, humanity lost something when sin entered into the world. But what humanity lost, Christ restores. He's making it better than it was. He wants to restore us to that unimpaired or improved condition. Unimpaired, meaning not weakened or damaged by sin. The good news of the glorious gospel is that he came, that he died, that he was buried, but he rose again. And in his resurrection, we have power, we have life, and we have restoration. As we learned in our first hour this morning, we can make his story our story as we respond to him. We identify with the gospel. When we die to our sin through repentance, we identify with his burial when we are being baptized in water in the name of Jesus for the remission of our sins. As he rose from the grave, we too can raise up from that watery grave and walk in newness of life and be filled with his Spirit, his Holy Spirit. We won't be the same. His word says, if any man is new in Christ, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Become new. This is how you and I get to respond to the gospel. By making Jesus personal, his sacrifice personal, and applying it to our lives, our way of life shifts completely because we are being restored. We walk with more confidence because we are being restored. We love others deeper because we are being restored. We believe what Jesus says about me because we are being restored. We love others better because we are being restored. We become better disciples of Jesus, not because we learn and we study and we're so fantastic and we have skills, but because we are being restored. Can you hear me this morning? We are being restored. On this Resurrection Sunday, new life is available for every one of us. You see, God doesn't want any one of us to perish. But he wants every one of us to come to repentance, to understand why he came and what he offers us. Understand something this morning. Restoration isn't a picture perfect process. There's a lot of change that has to happen. You see, there's a lot of removal of rust of some old parts. Perhaps there's some scraping away of the blemishes, or maybe sanding down some rough spots from the wears of life that have come. You know, speaking of sanding, I was playing in my garage yesterday. Yes, I said my garage. I'm building a bunch of custom tool storage for my French cleat wall. Yes, I'm very excited about it. And I get to take my tools and figure out a way to customize and create this, whatever I want to hold that on the wall. And I was working on projects yesterday, and it's been a while since I've gotten to play in the garage, and my hands have gotten a little bit soft. And, you know, all that sanding, I got some splinters. And I don't like splinters, but every time I took my gloves off, I would get splinters. So you'd think I would learn to leave the gloves on, but sometimes you can't hold it. But I got splinters, and I would pull them out, and be like, oh, there's another one, pull it out, okay, I'm good. And last night, I kept noticing that my pinky finger just kept stinging. And I looked at it, and I was like, there's nothing here, I can't see anything, what's going on? But every time I would brush something across my shirt, it just, ugh, you know what I'm talking about? It hurts. I knew that there was something there, but I couldn't find what it was. I went to bed. And I woke up this morning, and I was getting ready, and I felt it again. And I was like, oh my word, what is it? And I kept looking. So I turned on the light switch and stood under the light, and I couldn't see it. But I could see the red, the irritation. So I knew there was something under the surface. And so I was like, well, I gotta find this. And so I went and I found the flashlight. And I took the flashlight and I'm shining it on there. But the problem was all I could see was this bright bulb of light. That's all I could see. I couldn't see anything. And I'm like, this isn't helping me. So I shifted the light over a little bit. And then there in the reflection, as I held it up, there it was. It is the world's teeniest, tiniest little splinter. I'm like, honey, come here. John, I need you to hold this flashlight. So John's holding the flashlight, and he's trying to do it, and I'm trying to grab it, and my nails aren't doing the job, so I run. I'm like, I'll be right back. So I come back with tweezers, and I'm looking at the tweezers. I'm like, I don't think these are fine enough. And I kept grabbing at it. You know what? I couldn't get that silly thing out. I couldn't get it out. So you know what I did? I got a Band-Aid. Because Band-Aids fix everything. Right, kids? Band-Aids make the owies hurt a lot less. But, you know, I decided this morning, I don't have time to deal with this. This little thistle in my skin. I have other things I need to do, so I'm just going to wrap it in a Band-Aid. That's why I have a Band-Aid on. I don't have any super fun Band-Aids. But I have a Band-Aid. I didn't want to deal with it, but I also didn't want to deal with the irritation of it every time that I touched something. So I just covered it up. Isn't that like Jesus to give us an example of exactly what he's trying to tell us? How many times do we have splinters? How many times do we have thistles or maybe even thorns that we just ignore? Stand with me this morning. Hear me. Jesus is calling today. He's here, and he wants to take those thistles and those thorns of the curse, and he wants to remove them. He desires to restore you. He doesn't just want to repurpose your life for something else. He wants to restore you into divine relationship with him. And listen, the restoration might hurt a little. He may have to get a needle. Or maybe it's going to be a scalpel. But he's already begun the work. He began the work on the cross. He's made a way. But you have to decide today. Will you yield to what needs to happen? Will you take off the Band-Aid and say, Lord, here it is. I need help. I can't do this. I don't know what it is, but it hurts. Maybe it just irritates you like this baby little teeny tiny splinter irritates me. Or maybe it's gashing at you. Whatever it is, you have to be the one that says, I take the Band-Aid off, Lord. I surrender to the work that you began on the cross, and I accept that work. I know that today we are celebrating the most important event in all of history, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God who has taken away the sin of the world. But we have to accept it. We have to allow it to change us. I think about all those people when Jesus came as a man. All those people who missed who he was because he didn't come as they expected him to come. Maybe he showed up for you, but it's not the way that you expected him to show up. Maybe he's begun the difficult work of restoring you, but you keep shying away because it hurts and it's really painful. And I don't want to talk about that. And I don't want to touch this. But he's saying, listen, Jessica, if I'm going to get that thistle out, if I'm going to pull that thorn out, there's going to be a little pain, but my spirit will be the balm. My spirit will be the healing. I will restore you. I will bring you back to that unweakened state. I'm not just going to repurpose your life. I am going to bring you back to the original intent in Genesis, and I am going to restore my relationship with you. But he cannot do what you will not uncover. Don't allow the work of the cross to be for nothing. Don't allow the stripes that he bore to be for nothing. Don't allow the blood that he shed to go cold. Understand that he loves you with a sacrificial love. He loves you so much that he died for you. So many times we think of that and maybe we dismiss it and we say, he was God. It was easy for him to die. It was not easy because he came as God, but he was fully human. Because he experienced everything that you and I experience. So he knows those hurts. He knows those wounds. And he is able because he overcame the grave. And he wants to overcome whatever it is. He wants you to overcome it today. Today. May we never look at the thorn of crowns different again. But may we look at that and remember that in that thorn, that crown represents him reversing the curse. Reversing the curse. Will you come today? I invite you that if you want to come and you have not experienced the gospel for yourself, you have not repented of your sins, you have not been baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of your sins, or maybe you have yet to receive the Holy Ghost. He's here. He's risen. He's working, he's living, and he wants to work in your heart. He wants to restore your mind. He wants to balance your emotions. He wants to help you in the storms of life. I'm not gonna promise you that it's gonna be easy. It might be a little challenging, but he will help you through it. He will lead you through it. So I invite you this morning, if you wanna come to the front, we call this the altar. This is where we come and we lay things down. Sometimes you'll see people kneel down here and maybe they just want to make a physical display that says, Lord, out of my heart, I'm going to give this to you. There's studies that say that that actually does something to us when we speak it and we do something. And that's what God is asking. We have to respond to the gospel. And so I invite you to come this morning. Come and take the Band-Aid off. And let Jesus remove those thistles and let him remove those thorns. Let him heal your heart. Let him forgive your sins. Don't forget that he loves you and he wants to restore his relationship with you. He wants to give you his spirit and he wants to give you his strength. Will you come?
I found joy. Go back to the way it used to be before your presence.